Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome back to the Traveling Sales Lady, where we have conversations with no passport required. So this week, this month, this lifetime, isn't time such a funny thing, the Traveling Sales Lady? I'm just kind of like trying to get this going, and then I realize, wow, we just killed a couple seconds of time.
That's true. But the good news is we have more seconds to kill. So what are you thinking?
I know. No. You know what? It's so funny that is like, but we just had a conversation earlier and it just made me think of when we're reminiscing, when we think about our life experiences, that's all a matter of time, right? And with time is experience. And so it kind of got me excited about today's guest because We talk about how we progress and we move along in our career and we find things and we pivot accordingly. So, you know, Traveling Sales Lady, I know you know this particular guest better than me, but I will go ahead and say I'm excited to learn more about our guest. And her name is Jan Kielik. So tell me, Traveling Sales Lady, what is it about this particular guest that you're like, see ya, she's on our show?
Oh, right from the beginning, I was like, it was a matter of just timing for good recording dates because she's very, very busy. But Jan Kielik, who is currently the Executive Events Coordinator, there's a title that we could dig into on its own, with a company called Momentum Software, which used to be Community Brands. Here's what I know and adore and admire about Jan. She's got vast, vast experience on the inside sales side of things, and then outside in the field. And I think some of us may not have both sides of the coin. I'm not sure whether one is better than the other or where someone gets into inside and goes outside or outside inside. But Jan, welcome to the show. We're thrilled to have you. And we'd love to get a little bit of your background. And did you go outside in or inside out? Or are you all confused where you're living in the box?
I think I'm a little confused, Traveling Sales Lady, about where I'm living in the box, because I've been outside, inside, and on top of the box, I think, at this point.
Where's the box? Okay, what? Or even, what is the box? Sorry.
I've thought outside the box, I've thought inside the box, and I've thought next to the box.
And I know from years before, you'll share some stories you often had to climb your way out of the box.
Exactly. I think I'm still climbing my way out of the box to get into the other box that I can't get into.
Oh my gosh. So what's with the title? What's with the company? Maybe just a little bit of background about you, what you're currently doing.
So I've been with this company for like almost a year now. Well, not quite. I'd say probably like 8 months. And I worked for them before also doing various other things for them. But this time I came back and I am running their events. I have some, like, it's me and myself and another person in my department. And we just sell events to major corporations. And when I say events, I mean like career fairs and recruitment guides and virtual career fairs. What our company does, it's a little confusing, but we work with over 3,000 associations. So we basically run their sites. So if a company wants to go on, we work with mostly niche jobs. So if a company, let's say a prime example is a rheumatologist, no rheumatologist is now actively looking for a job because there's not enough of them, correct? And you probably know that better than anybody, Traveling Sales Lady. But if they're not looking for a job, how are we getting those jobs that are open in front of them? So we run the sites for these associations. So when they're looking at something on an association page, up jumps, you know, like a job opening. And it kind of forces them to say, oh, what's this? And so even though they're not actively looking for jobs, they're passive job seekers. They're not looking for jobs, but, you know, if something better came up, they might take it. So they see that and then they say, oh, okay, let me look farther into this. So we kind of help people that are looking for people in very niche positions, specialties. We work a lot with healthcare, but another way for them to get these jobs in front of people is through these conferences. And you know, they have, like, the rheumatology has a huge conference every year. We run a career fair alongside that conference. So I know it's a little confusing, but career fairs are great because it's just another way to get those jobs in front of passive job seekers that might be going to the conference just to, you know, have their company be exposed and, you know, people in that field, you know, oh yeah, you know, so-and-so is here. They can also go to these career fairs and, you know, interview people that are looking for jobs.
So from what you've just shared with me, it sounds
like, I know.
it's a lot, but it's a creative, in a sense, what you're doing, if I'm correct, is you're matching qualified candidates with open positions, but you're not a staffing company. You've actually thought outside the box to get creative. And in a strange way, someone who is typically inside the box is going outside to a conference, and we're just circling around this box idea again. I'm back to the box.
I know. And it's not just qualified candidates. These are highly qualified candidates. So, you know, you might only talk to three people, but it's three highly qualified candidates instead of, you know, 25 people. And out of the 25, maybe one has some characteristics you're looking for.
Okay. And I have a question, Jan, because I know in healthcare, and I think you've shared with me prior that you have a niche in the healthcare channels, staffing shortages remain, right? And you're inside sales making outbound calls to your contacts to share the value of working with you. Have you found still a high turnover rate with the people that you're calling on, or what level of role does that person have? Is it easy to connect on inside sales these days? That's my umbrella question.
So you're asking me, like, the person that I usually contact at a certain company, is there a big turnover with those people?
Or are they easy to connect with? I know typically in healthcare sales, senior living sales, it can be difficult to put a phone call into someone because they're not there, or because of staffing crisis, they're not at their desk. So I'm wondering, the people that you're contacting, what's the level of difficulty, or is it easy? Do they pick up the phone?
Oh, no, they never pick up the phone. Like, I would say, not, as a matter of fact, like, it, you could film me and it'd be hysterical, because when somebody does pick up the phone, you're like, hi, how are you today? Like, you get very excited because I don't talk to... just to give you an example, I make probably between 40 and 50 calls a day, sometimes more than that. I probably talk to three people.
That's good, actually. Getting three people to pick up, that's still really good. That's pretty impressive. But I have to say, I think it's interesting that these are highly qualified people. So it's almost like catching them at that right moment in time, because just because they're there doesn't necessarily mean there's interest or desire, but those bad days, if you can catch them on that bad day when they're like, I'm out of here, and you're like, hello.
Well, actually, no, because I'm not talking to the highly qualified people that are applying for the job.
Oh, like, you're not? Oh,
no,
I'm sorry.
Like,
okay.
He was saying, it's, you know, we're actually not doing the recruiting. We're actually just getting highly qualified candidates in front of the people that are doing the recruiting. So I'm talking to the recruiters and trying to get them to come to the career fairs, put an ad in the recruitment guide, attend the virtual career fair, because then they are going to talk to the highly qualified candidates.
Gotcha. Okay. I think I switched the role. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I thought it was you got them excited and then they got them to the recruiter, if that makes sense, versus the opposite direction.
Yeah, no, we really have nothing to do with the recruiting. All we offer is a way to get these jobs in front of highly qualified candidates.
Oh, fascinating. That is fascinating. That's
I wasn't familiar with it until you started sharing with me, Jan, because it really is a creative way that's not your typical, I'm the recruiter, send me a resume, or I'm on Indeed and I'm doing a search outbound. This is really unique. Is it all different industries, or is it primarily just healthcare?
We work primarily with healthcare, but we have all different industries. We do veterinarians, we do lawyers, we do HR people, we do chemical, we work with chemical companies. I mean, you name it, we pretty much do it, you know? We do have our foot in the senior living, you know, so, and we have all probably 60 different reps in our office, and those 60 reps will pull in over $2 million in a month.
Oof.
Wow.
Yeah.
And when you do get those two or three people on the phone, mm-hmm. how do you develop trust quickly? Because I think in sales, that's one of just a staple, right? You've got to have their trust quickly. And I'm picturing you're on the phone, you really, out of 50 calls, 47 you said don't pick up. Now you have that third one that does, that takes you by surprise. So how do you develop trust quickly?
You know, I always start with, you know, how you, I'm just using rheumatology, but I'm calling from the, you know, American College of Rheumatology Association. You know, how are you today? I always start with that. And they usually say, oh, you know, good. And if they mention something like, oh, you know, I'm, you know, 8 months pregnant, so I'm a little bit tired, you know, I tend to write down those little nips of information so that when I call them back next time, I'll say, geez, how are you feeling today? You should be about 9.5 months now. You should, you're still here or something like that, you know? So it's something like, or if they say like, oh, I'm great, I'm going on vacation next week, you know, I'll say, oh, where are you going? Like, I try to get something on a personal level, like, you know, like any salesperson does. And then they might say, you know, I'm going to Florida next week or whatever. And then if I call them back the week after, I'm like, how was your trip to Florida? And I think they kind of feel like, oh, gosh, she remembered I was going to Florida, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And you've also had experience on the other side of the fence with outside sales.
Yes.
Just in your honest opinion, is one better than the other or easier to develop relationships than the other? Or do you think it just varies?
You know, I think it varies. I think for me, I'm a very people-oriented person. And I think like with outside sales, what I do like about outside sales is you're meeting that person face-to-face, right? So they really get a feel for you as a person. They feel like they know you. You come back in. It's like, oh, Jan's here again today. They know your sales person for that specific thing that you're selling. Whereas it's really hard, especially in this job in inside sales, because we have so many people doing, like, some people, you know, just post job postings for people. You know, I do careers. Other people do like bundle packages for people. So we have so many people calling them all the time. We try to segregate it more, but you get a lot of, I don't know who to speak with. That's a problem. So outside sales, I feel like you have a territory, you work that territory, they get to know you, you know, like as a person, you know, like they see a face, they see your personality, they see what kind of car you're driving, whatever it is that makes them connected to you, right? Whereas over the phone, you just kind of have to, I don't know, like figure it out, I guess, you know, that you have to find something you can connect with. Like I talked to a guy the other day on the phone and he said he was from New York. And I'm like, oh, fellow New Yorker, because I'm originally from New York. And I started talking to him, where are you from? He was from Westchester County, where I was from. We're buds now because we had that connection. So he's not going to forget who I am, you know, because I'll always say, you know, when he calls me, I'll always say, oh, it's my New York friend. You know what I mean? And that's our connection. But if you can't find something to connect with the person, you're just a person on the phone, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Sia.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, at least maybe the thing I think about inside and outside sales, again, my background's in tech, so it might be not exactly the same, but I think it is applicable in a lot of different ways, is it's different roles, right? Yes, you're doing sales, but there's different responsibilities that needs to happen. So in the tech world, the field sales folks were the ones that were yes, meeting with clients in person, having the deeper conversations, because, you know, when you're in contact with someone physically, I mean, you get to know them, right? I mean, heck, you're even smelling them. It's like you're using all the senses, right, when you're engaging with them. But the problem is when you're out on the road all the time, you can't do the paperwork, right? And so at least for us, it was the inside sales team was an augmentation typically of the outside sales. And so oftentimes the inside sales was doing a lot of the, process, you know, data entry. And I don't want to call it data entry, but it was a lot of the, hey, I'm in the field. Can you back me up? We got to get this quote out kind of thing. And it's not to say the outside rep didn't do that. I'm just saying it seemed to me more process oriented minds who have personalities really excel at inside sales. And it feels like the folks that are, that see business savvy and they're more consultative in their conversations tend to be out in the field because they're with the people in hand and you're kind of seeing what their pain points are. So you can feel out what it is that they really need, not just what they say they need kind of thing. And it's not to say inside sales doesn't get that type of relationship. I'm just saying that's how it was kind of broken down in the tech world. Is that what you guys are seeing in other industries of how inside and outside, or is it inside sales has, I've seen this too. Inside sales is responsible for deals up to X. And then anything bigger than that goes to the field sales team. That was another differentiation that would break up how the inside outside work together. But do you guys see the same type of delineation?
I see Sia, what you're saying with again, I think it depends on the channel with X number at a certain level is inside and then going outside. But it's interesting. I think outside sales, and again, it depends on who your audience is and what you're selling. But I think a lot can be seen visually. And just an example, someone could be calling on a hospital and you could see that parking lot is full. In healthcare sales, it's always a double-edged sword. Your common ground could be, wow, you guys are busy today, right? Well, what does that mean from a hospital? Well, we got a lot of sick people. So there's your double-edged sword. But it also keeps census up and jobs and all that stuff. So double-edged sword. So you can see things, or you could be selling into senior living a product, and maybe a lot of senior living companies would work with distributor partners. By visually being at that community, you could see a truck pull up. Now I know ahead of the curve what distributor they're using. Oh, wait a minute. And that car pulled up and gee, I see a name badge and that's the person I'm looking for. And the conversation pivots. Hello, Sally. We met in the parking lot a minute ago. So it can all vary, I think. But then I've seen, it sounds like, Jan, with what you're doing, it's a straight line of what you're doing, right? There's not an outside field sales team. This is what we do. This is how we do it. It's a straight A to B process.
I have to say the company does encourage, like if we had, the trouble is we work, you know, nationwide. So obviously if I'm speaking with someone in California, I can't jump in the car, right? And then go talk to them. But if they did have a company like near us, I'm sure if they thought we could, you know, really sit down with them and sell them more, they would let us go.
Gotcha.
You know, and definitely think, like, if you think you can do it, go for it, you know?
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
You know, I think also with inside sales is they're like, I consider inside sales as like the catch, the guard, but you know what hits the fan, right? We've all had situations where the client is not happy for whatever reason, but you're on the plane, so you're not receiving the phone call. Like that inside sales team member, your teammate, if you want to call it, or colleague, whatever, they can handle issues in the clutch. And I've seen more often that inside sales actually has more weight to the sales relationship than the outside, right? Because the outside is like, oh, I see them come by, they flitter in, they flitter out kind of thing, right? Or as my boyfriend likes to say, yeah, you go in there and you buy them lunch and you walk away. And I'm like, no, we do more than that, but thank you, right? we drink coffee too.
Yeah. That's what we do all day. We just have coffee and donuts.
Exactly.
And then we top it off with an ice cream treat in the afternoon.
Hey, traveling sales lady, I just had a thought.
Oh, is it time, Sia? Is it time for our Click to Commerce segment?
I think so.
Falling asleep with your neck in the wrong position can be a real pain in the neck. Literally. People of all ages are falling for Tossi. Tossi gives you the comfort you've always dreamed of. Go to TossiBrands.com and get your comfort on.
So, Jen, can I ask you this? Is with the post-pandemic world that we're in, and you're doing events, right? Have you seen a shift or change? I know you're fairly new coming into this particular organization, but are we still feeling that residual, like, gathering, you know, no gathering, no one wants to go out anymore, or is it back to pre-COVID conditions, whatever
we call
it?
I think, well, it's funny because when I worked for this company before, I did this for a short period of time, what I'm doing now, because one of the girls was on maternity leave. So I actually started right after COVID. So it was huge. It was like everybody and their brother was like signing up for career fairs and this and that, because, you know, this was a way everybody was, you know, laid off basically during COVID. Oof. So they were, you know, there was so much hiring going on that it was just insane. So that has definitely changed. I've noticed a huge downslide basically in sales, as far as a lot of people are, you know, hired up. They're not hiring any other people. Then, you know, the whole politic thing comes into it, and it's like, you know, a lot of companies are very uncertain of what's going on in the, you know, the climate. So they're kind of like, you know, holding on to everything until they see that, like, the, you know, the world's not going to blow up. So it's like, they just, you know, a lot of them have hiring freezes. They can't, or they'll cut out, like, because to me, career fairs are something that you don't have to do, right? Like, what's the first thing you cut out when you lose your job? You're not going to Starbucks anymore, unfortunately, you know, you cut out the little things. So the career fairs, the recruitment guides, they're kind of an added extra. They're a bonus. They're just a way to get your jobs in front of a lot of people at once, which is great. But if a company's going to spend, you know, they can post a job on one of our sites and do it for $400, then why are they going to spend $3,500 on a career fair? And that's what I do. That's my job, to explain to them why it's worth spending that $3,500 on the career fair.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Are your clients more larger corporations, or again, does that vary?
It varies, but we do work with a lot of large corporations. Yes, a lot of big healthcare, you know, like Aetna, Cigna, like a lot of big healthcare corporations for sure. But we also work with the private guy, you know, that has like, you know, he has just a private practice and there's three people that work there. We do work with them as well.
Got it. Yep. And so have you had in your career, I'm sure you've had a few, but are there any funny stories that come to mind in the past, or shoulda, coulda, woulda next time around? Things that we all face. I know I face certain times throughout my career where I've hung up the phone and I'm actually glad at that point that the phone has been hung up, where it's like in hindsight, oh my, that didn't go as planned, or I didn't see that curveball coming. Whereas sometimes in person, you can have the curveball coming, but you can't get out of that room quick enough, type of thing. So just funny stories or anything that's worth sharing that may benefit someone else that can learn from your, I don't want to say mistakes, because experience is the word I'm looking for. They're not mistakes, experience.
Well, a lot of them, I mean, could be perceived like maybe better planning ahead of time, right? So I know, like, I mean, retail, we could do another whole show on that, stories that I have that are funny behind that, because I was a retail manager for years. But I would say in this company, something that was kind of funny, not so funny, that recently happened to me. What I try to do is we try to get people to, we have calendar of events for the year. So it just makes it so much easier if we can send them the calendar of events. And these are companies that, you know, obviously purchase many events from us in the course of a year. They can look over the calendar and they can say, okay, we want to do these 7 events for the next 6 months, right? You meet with them once, you sign them up for the 7 events, and you call it a day. This way, we're not harassing them every day and calling them all the time. I'm not trying to get in touch with them. They're calling me back. I'm not at my desk. Like, it goes back and forth. And I mean, the average sale probably takes between 2 and 3 weeks. It's just insane, like, how it goes on and on. So, you know, this is the ideal way to do it. And also, as an incentive for them to do this, we give them a discount. So we'll give them, for 5 or more, you know, events, we'll give them 15% off all of those events. So, it, you know, when a company is spending a lot of money on events, it really adds up quickly, right? So I work with this one big company, and a lot of times when I came into this role, the people that were doing it before, you know, around October, November, we start trying to push for the following year, right? We start trying to sell the events for, like, in October, I'll start selling events. I'm even starting to kind of do it now. Events for 2026. Okay. So, and then when I came into this role and took over the other girl's position, they said to her, because she just moved to another role, you have till the end of January to close all the deals you've been working on. But after that, everything's jammed, right? So, I am working with this one woman in this big healthcare company. And she just sends me an email like, this is like your dream, right? I had talked to her about the different events and things like that. I'd sent her over a calendar of events, and I didn't even set up a call. She just sends me an email, and she's got like 10 events on it. These are the events we want to do. And I'm like, you know, I'm stuttering at my desk because I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like heaven. This is like the best thing that can happen. I just pulled in like 30 grand, right? So I'm all excited about the events, and I'm going through and blah, blah, blah. And I start putting them in the computer, and I look, and she's already signed up for like 6 of the 10 events, and she's forgotten about it. I'm like, how do you forget? But she had done it the year before with the other girl ahead of time and just totally spaced it. So my 10 events went very quickly to about 3 or 4 events, which still is okay. But I'm like, you know, I won't do that again. If people sign up for a lot of events, well, now it's kind of me, so I would know. But
yeah.
But I would go in and check in their file and just make sure they haven't already purchased these events, because that was a lesson learned, because you would think that they wouldn't do that. But these people are so busy all the time that she signed up like 6 months prior, and she just totally spaced it.
Wow.
So I had to call her back and say, you know, you already signed up for 6 of these events. Like, if I could have put it through again, she never would have known. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you for having ethics not to do that.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I know. I could never, ever do that. Yeah.
But you thought it for about 2 seconds. Like, could I? No.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, well, it was 6 months ago. They already paid for it. They're not going to know they had another one. No, I could never do that. But, and I really like the person too that, you know, I sold them to. But anyways, it's just, you know, I mean, I think she felt kind of stupid when I told her that. But, you know, like, I get it, because she's really busy. She's really, really busy, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But it was just like this big inflated, like, oh my gosh, it's paying off, to like, oh geez, okay, I got a $50 sale.
But think about it though. Okay, let's just really, like, okay, I'm trying to like put a lipstick on a pig of disappointment here, okay? Uh-huh. But it is... But wow, you had the integrity to come back and say, hello, honey, I will take your money. I'm happy to. Can't do it. You already paid for it. But imagine now, she's going to be slightly embarrassed, but imagine now she can say, I can trust her.
Yeah.
This person has my back. You know what I mean? And I think that is like one of the critical things, that whether you're inside or outside, is that when you could just do that kind of, like, you know, having someone's back is so hard these days, because so much of our lives is looking out for ourselves at times, right? And though we're not trying to be selfish, it's just, you know, it's just, you got to take care of yourself, right? And I think personally, you've got a client, not for life, but for a heck of a long time, just for that one simple move to say, yeah, you, you're double paying.
Well, to me, it's like karma. You know what I mean? Like karma always comes back to you. And it's like, you know, we have our really good customers work with this area called the network, and they just do big deals with them and everything. And in with that package of being part of the network, you get 10% off all career fairs, all recruitment guides, all virtual career fairs. But a lot of the people, because there's so many recruiters in a company, a lot of the recruiters don't even realize they're in the network. So it's very easy for me to be able to be like, not offer them 10%, but I can't do that because to me, it's going to come back to you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I always believe if you do all the right things, you can only be redirected. You know, it's when you start crossing lines that are unethical, that are, to me, they don't serve anybody mm-hmm. well at all. So your story just triggered. I'm just going to share this story because this is kind of different, but similar. Years ago, I was working for a company that shredded paper. And this is when HIPAA was really a big deal. And not a lot of people were informed about HIPAA rules. So I've really just dated a time period here. But anyway, I was on a truck, a shredding truck, up at this large, large hospital in northern Florida. And you had requirements that the hospital put it out to bid. You had to show up with your truck and then show them a box of papers. And if it met their requirements, and you submitted a proposal and all that happy good stuff. So anyway, I was with the gentleman on operations. I met him in the parking lot. We put the boxes through. The hospital administrator came out, jumped up on the truck. There were three of us, and he pulled up the piece of paper. And I was really embarrassed because you could still see information on it. And he said, "You can still see information on it." And I said, "Well, here you are, right?" And I'm thinking, I just want to crawl out of the truck. And it was a box truck, Jan.
It's a little funny.
Again. Bring it back.
But anyway, so he said, "You can see it." And we said, "Well, yes, but when we take it to our site, it goes through another process to bring it down," which was true. It was not a fib. But I knew it should have been shredded much, much smaller. And so I said, as we got back to the office, to the person, my ops guy, I said, "I don't understand what happened." And he said, "Well, actually, we've got different levels of trucks. This is an older one. The newer one I was going to bring, it broke and I had to get up there, but we would get the job done, this and that." But again, visual, right? Such a big deal. So I knew there was no way, no how I was getting that deal. And my phone rang. We submitted the proposal. My phone rang about 2 weeks later, and I picked up to the contact, and it was the secretary to this gentleman, the administrator. And she said, "I just wanted to let you know that you got the deal." And I'm thinking to myself, there's no way, no how. I know in my gut. And meanwhile, it was like a $40,000 commission. Half of me wanted to call my husband and say, "Woohoo, we were young, raising kids. I mean, it's a long time." And the other half was jokingly, he'd spend it in 10 minutes. So, well, we can't do that. Well, thank goodness I didn't. But I hung up the phone and I sat there taking pause for a couple. And I thought, I knew that reaction from that gentleman. We did not get this. Well, sure enough, she called back in about 2 minutes and said, "I'm so sorry. It wasn't you. It was another or whatever." But kind of a lesson learned from the sense of you have to have trust in yourself too. About, you know, when the going's good, and you know when, yeah, it's just not a good fit, or something has happened that has made it not a good fit, whether it's on your end or their end. So it was kind of a funny learning lesson anyway from years ago.
We've all experienced this many times, and I think you've nailed it. Like, for me, if there's a deal that just went down a little too easy, a little too fast, it has 100% of the time been a nightmare in the post sales on the services delivery side, because it means you didn't do your due diligence, you didn't ask all the big questions, you made assumptions, and it just goes terrible. So at least you knew in your interaction with that particular client that you just knew there's no way they were going to reward it, because you saw his body language. You saw what he said. You heard it. Or you're just that charming, the traveling sales lady. Oh, yes. I've seen you be very convincing. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you reach a point sometimes where you agree with the person, right? To really, you know, like a Billy, you know what? I agree with you. This is just something's not right here. Something's off. But that to me goes a long way too with it's got to be mutually. I always think of a chain link fence. If it's got to be win, 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 win for every part of that chain, whether it's 2 links, 4 links, 10 links, if there's a weak link in there, forget about it. Find a new fence. Put up a stockade fence because the chain link's no longer working. So, So, Jan, on our podcast, we like to talk about fun places to go. In your experience, have you gone to a conference that has been a super cool area where you would recommend, hey, anybody who's going here should go there, or anything interesting that you've seen?
I like to travel a lot. I can't say through work. I mean, I used to travel quite a bit when I was a retail manager, we went to New Orleans and that was awesome. So I don't know any specific places I would say, like, oh, I would definitely go here. I mean, if you're ever traveling to Boston, you got to go to the North End, right? Because if you love Italian food, I mean, that's the place to be. I'm just trying to think, like, there's places in New York City I could tell you, but nothing that stands out that's like, oh, yeah, you know, we went to this place. And it's more like when I've gone on these conferences, they do things exclusively for the company, you know? So like I got to see, Alicia Keys in a private concert one time. That was pretty cool, you know, but not so much like taking us out places that really stood out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You just made me think of like all the Vegas. If you've been to a Vegas conference, there's always going to be a company that, you know, buys VIP seats or they buy out an entire club, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, but seeing Alicia Keys must have been amazing.
Yeah, that was a surprise, and that was really, really cool. That's when I worked for Starbucks. They used to do a lot of that kind of stuff for us, and there was 10,000 managers in New Orleans, so if you can only imagine what that must have been like.
Wow.
We actually saw her in Texas, and she looked around, looked around everywhere, and she goes, God, there's a lot of you guys. But it was pretty cool that we were like, you know, she was just a concert for us. You know, I got to see Bono in another time in another thing. I got to go in the 42nd, eat lunch on the 42nd yard line for the Saints when we went to New Orleans. That was pretty cool. So yeah, like a lot of fun stuff like that. But I found they did mostly things for the companies that I went with were more like exclusive to the companies, not like, oh, we went to this restaurant and it was really neat, or we went to this show and it was really cool, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think you've just given ideas for anybody who's a manager with Panera that they can now go to leadership and say, listen, Alicia Keys, 42nd yard line, and I want a little taste of Bono here because our competitors are doing that.
I know. It is. It was very cool. That was a company that allotted for a lot of things like that. So it was pretty cool when we went on those trips.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Jan, we've come up to our time. We've enjoyed the conversation. Sum it up for us. Inside, outside, upside down.
I feel like there's a song about that. Is it inside, outside, upside down?
Wow. You're going young. You must be younger. I was like upside down, inside out. Boy, you turned me.
Oh, yeah. What is that song?
That one's Diana Ross, but the one you're singing is
that one I just made up, I think.
Oh, is it? I'm like, I have no idea. I'm like, I'm trying to think of like, is it some like Sabrina Carpenter or something cool? I don't know these days.
Sales lady knows that I like to rap every once in a while too.
I love it. That's awesome.
So I think, you know, I think it depends on like, you know, what Sia was saying. It's kind of like your personality, like. You know, I've had outside sales that I've really enjoyed doing. I've had inside sales. I think the hard thing about inside sales is just the connection, making that connection. But, you know, I mean, it's also nice on a 90-degree day being at an air-conditioned office and not having to, like, you know, run around and have to worry about your car breaking down or something going on. So, you know, there's pros and cons to both of them, really, you know, and in retail, yeah. I was inside, outside, and upside down most of the time. So, like, you know, I really enjoyed that, too, because you tend to have repeat customers and, you know, you got to really know them. And, you know, I think when I managed the Starbucks in my town for years, I remember when I left, I'd always used to run into people in the grocery store and people would come up to me and they'd say, you know, the store is fine. And they'd say, you know, but it's just not the same without you there. And that was like the best compliment anyone could give me, because it was like, you know, it's still running. We still get our coffee. Everything's great. But it's just, it's not, the atmosphere is not the same without you there. And that was, I used to like always walk away from those conversations with a big smile on my face, because you made a difference in someone's day, right? Yeah. You know, as Howard Schultz always used to say, we're changing lives one cup at a time. So it's kind of like you felt like you were doing that. So at the end, that's really what I'm all about, like making a difference in someone's day.
Yeah. Well, that's a nice ending, I think. You know, you're putting yourself out there and I'm just going to end up in the box.
You know what? I think that's my cue, traveling sales lady. I think I am going to put you in that box there, because if we keep talking, everyone, because I know we can keep talking, we're never leaving. So I do think I'm going to step out of the box here and say, this was such a wonderful conversation. Jan, you're a rock star, as always, traveling sales lady. This time I'm not even going to ask you for your final thoughts, because we're going to keep going for another like 20, 30 minutes, I could tell. So I'm going to say thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. It's another great conversation with the Traveling Sales Lady podcast, where you can have great conversations like this with no passport required. Until then, we'll see you next time.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Thank you.